DOT Commissioner Joseph Giletti in studio. And we're going to go to the phones in a second, let him know which roads need to be fixed next.
Right.
I'm sure they're all on his radar.
Yep. This is confirmed.
Yes. Wrong way driving. What is the deal with this?
You know, I've got to go out tonight. When we first were approached with this, you know, we do have this year, it will end up being more than the previous 4 years combined in terms of the total wrong way drivers.
Wow.
The thing that is disturbing is when you are doing the toxicology reports afterwards, 85% are showing up as impaired. So, you know, trying to deal with this problem requires a lot more than just, you know, what we have to do on the highway. But what we're experimenting with tonight.
Well, you kind of have the answer as to why it's happening.
Yeah.
With the other 15%, what is that? Distracted, elderly?
Well, you know, if you took a look at the number of distracted driving incidents we've had last year, over 5,000 distracted driving accidents. So, which means people are not paying attention as they're driving
along.
How do
you prove it? Can you see that they're in their cell phone? Like, if there's a bad accident,
I don't. If I turn around and tell you that I know what it is, okay, I'd be lying to you. Okay,
a lot the of cops it has have to a way do to with
yes.
Yeah,
in other words, they pull the phones. They like to look to see whether or not they were utilizing the cell phones, and that's where it comes back. But getting back to the wrong way driving tonight, we're going to shut down one of the exit lanes because we've come up with a way to put a bunch of flashing lights on if you're going up an exit ramp that will turn around and basically throw all kinds of lights back at you. We're going to do it with solar power. We've got a trench across the road to put in some of the cables and everything.
Cool.
But, and it was designed primarily in-house. Our own people came up with it. We are also putting out contracts to do it at other locations as well. We'll see how it goes. We had a lot of support from the legislature on this. They gave us
$20 million. So your own people came up with this? What are we going to do here?
Yeah, and they say, how about if we come up with the reflective lights? How about if we have a way of illuminating them? How about if we can come up with solar power so nobody will claim that, you know, it's costing us more money to go and do it on that end?
And, ahead.
You know, yeah.
Oh, I love it.
It's like flashing lights. If not, then a laser.
So I'm guessing you're picking one that is known for people driving up the wrong way.
Yes. We're going to do, you know, we'll have, there's much more than one. But, yes, we're going to start with one up in Southington. We've got a list out for competitive bid for where we're going to have contractors come in and do it. And, if successful, we'll look to employ it throughout the state.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
DOT looking for people?
All the time. You know, we were looking for them before, and, you know,
this was a job that people used to beg to get. How are you having a hard time filling these positions now?
Well, part of the reason, the big part of the reason was until there was some changes, again, thanks to the governor going back to reevaluate some of the salaries, but the towns were paying more than the DOT was with the same benefits package for the drivers and the plow drivers. And right now, I don't have to tell you, you can go drive right down the highway and you'll see CDL license. Anybody who's got one has got a job almost anywhere they want in the state. What we offer, though, and I keep trying to emphasize this, you know, the governor kept business open all the way through the pandemic. Nobody got laid off, okay? You can't go to other companies and anticipate you're going to get that type of job security. You know, they are careers. They have a good benefits package. But the other end is engineers. You know, the fact that they had this retirement plan that if you wanted to retire and keep your, you know, basically part of your COLA, you had to retire by the end of July this year. So we lost over 30% of the agency. I'm still down close to 400 engineers, civil engineers.
Wow.
You know, and that, if we got everybody who graduated in every school in Connecticut, it wouldn't fill our need.
Wow.
And you're competing against every engineering firm out there. So we're advertising all the way down through the South. We're advertising.
These students have jobs before they're even close to graduation.
And that was another thing.
Companies come in and offer them a job when they're sophomores. You know?
Yeah, well, and that's the other part that we've got to get better at. We're going into we're going into the colleges and we're going into the trade schools.
How competitive are we? In terms of the engineering jobs?
Well, let's be candid. Right now, because there's so much work out there, the engineering companies are having a hard time getting people because they're getting constant higher offers from other firms. So right. It's a crazy
crazy bidding war.
Yeah.
And the problem is once this settles down, you'll be stuck with these people at that salary level.
Right. Well, and
or
that's
if you
why
bring them in at a
be.
High level, you're really screwing everyone who's now at a lower level.
So and that's what all these firms are going in. We do not have that problem. We don't bring them in at a much higher level or anything. But what we do offer is steady employment, secure employment, and you know a lot of growth opportunity within
I
the
I like health care for the rest of the life.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Boy. Well, we should have it.
You don't think about it when you're like 20, but you start thinking about it later. Like, what am I going to do for health care? Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know,
how long do you have to work for the state to get the health care for life?
I believe right now we're at 10 years.
That's not bad.
No.
That's pretty good.
That's
no,
great.
As a matter of fact, that's the other thing.
Any
you know,
state run radio stations?
Josh, they want your job, okay? I'm going to tell you right now. Okay?
Oh, no. He's too organized. He works too hard. We don't want that job.
He's like,
this guy is on it. You got a good assistant.
Yeah,
there.
You don't want us.
All right, so we're going to link up on the radio station
sure.
website if anyone has any interest in a state position with the DOT. It's good stuff, man.
It really
you got a
is.
Good crew.
Okay, and the thing that I told you about with the high schools, Maine did a thing where they were actually offering to pay for the CDL licenses, which cost them about $20,000 between the salary and putting them through the program. And almost everybody who got their CDL within a week after they got it left the state to go work for a company that offered more money. Mm. So what I'm looking to try and do is something like the federal government where if you come on board, you know, you know, for 5 years, they'll pay off 20% of your college loan for every year that you're there. So I'm looking to lock in because if you can have people stick it out for a couple of years, they'll end up deciding it's a good place to work, especially with the growth opportunities.
Right.
So that's what we're looking to do.
Brad in Milford, what's your question?
I lived down in Florida like 18 years of my life. I'm originally from Milford. The thing is down there, there's a law where when you're getting on the on-ramp, everybody in that lane in the slow lane has to get over. So there's no, you know, when they're getting on, everybody's racing to get on. And even if there's a cop pulled somebody over, there's a truck on the side of the road, you're always supposed to get in the second lane. There's so much congestion. Why isn't there a law up there for that? The one law that I could definitely get behind would be that. Because there's so much traffic on I-95 southbound. And I'm going to South Norwalk every morning. And it's just so, every time, there's people just fighting to get on, you know, to get on the on-ramp. And people just don't. Why don't they just let them in?
You know, they're still experimenting down in Florida, and I'm sorry to jump ahead of you, Chaz, but, you know, from the standpoint that, you know, they right now down in Florida don't believe as well as we do up here in mass transportation. So they've got a lot of land to build roads on, and there are highways there that can accept the amount of traffic that is there. We don't have that luxury here. We've got one of the densest highway systems in the United States. And I don't have to tell you, what you're seeing for traffic is jammed every single day. And the other problem
there's
that we
more
have...
more people, yeah.
Well, there's more people. And now that the highways are back up to pre-pandemic levels, everybody's still driving like there was no cars on the highway. And you know, we've already talked about the wrong way drivers. It's the deadliest year in record.
Yeah.
And on top of that, we've got speeds like we've never seen before. Not 20 miles over the speed limit, but 50 miles over the speed limit, feeling like they can zoom in and out of traffic. And, you know, it's tough on all the state police. It's tough on all of the people at the DOT that have to respond to these accidents. So I hear you on the potential for a solution like that, but we don't have the ability to move the cars over into another lane. That's just too dense in terms of the total cars out there.
And some of the drivers, too.
What about tickets for impeding traffic when you're going too slow?
Yeah, when you know, that's the whole deal.
Right?
We just need more,
somebody.
You know. There's not enough cops to write all the tickets.
Right.
You know, what happens when you... So I pitched this to then-Governor Malloy, that these people who drive slow in the left lane really slow down progress.
They do.
Because they're just bringing the highway traffic to a halt.
Exactly.
So I thought you get a fleet of cars unmarked, and all they do all day... It's just pull people over
patrol
who are driving slow in the left lane. Because soon as we see the state police car, what do?
Slow down.
We all drive. We get out of that passing lane. We're all driving our best driving.
Right.
But like unmarked cars and then these left lane drivers, because you're just going to open up the travel lane. you know, passingly.
I agree with you that is part of the problem. There's nothing that drives me more crazy than you get behind somebody in the left lane, and not only are they driving slow, they're driving below the speed limit.
Yeah,
okay?
It's like, come on now.
Yeah, so you're forcing everybody to go driving around you, and that's one of the leading causes of accidents is the lane changes. So,
Joe?
Hey, I got a brother that works for an asphalt place out of Bridgeport. What are you going to do to protect these guys that are working on the highway? You're going to have to pay $100 an hour because people ain't going to want to do that job anymore. It's too dangerous with this 100-mile-an-hour car stuff.
It's a great point.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought it up. We got it through the legislature last year. We are going to put out the first, they'll be in the first quarter of next year. You're going to see that we're going to have traffic enforcement cameras in work zones. We're going to start with a pilot program. I'm hoping it's going to be very successful, that people will realize you can get an automatic ticket going by a work zone. So it'll slow the cars down in the work zone. And if we can prove that, I think you'll start seeing some more effective use. But again, it's only going to be able to take the picture. The state police will be in charge of it. This is something that we're doing in conjunction with our partners at the state police, and it'll allow them not to have to go and leave the scene to go chasing cars down, but instead issue a ticket that will hopefully, between that and putting it on to both Waze, you know, we have partnerships with Waze where we'll identify where the work zones are to get you to slow down going through those areas.
Man. You guys are everywhere.
They're on it, man. They're on it. That's great. That's great.
Got a great team.
Yeah.
Let's go over here. Chris in Fairfield, what's your question?
Yes. Good morning, Chaz and AJ. How are you doing this morning? Good morning, Commissioner.
Good morning.
Chaz and AJ really picked up from where Smith and Barb left off. That's how old I am.
I'm older.
I tend to think more with my gut than with my brain, and my gut tells me that are they adding – are extending the I-95, let's see, near exit 16, local access lane. Are they extending that southbound access lane to below the East Avenue overpass? I see a lot of work over there. It looks like they're widening something underneath exit 16.
You know, I'm drawing a blank right at the moment, okay? I'll tell you what we are trying to do, okay? Let me hit it that way. Right now, I already told you about what goes on when we're going up to 84. We know right now if we can do the going towards Boston on 95, going up towards Route 8, if we can do a double lane exit there, we will eliminate that traffic jam that backs all the way up to Norwalk. I have another issue going right between Stamford and the state line, that if we could put in an additional travel lane for a brief period there, we again can eliminate that backup that goes all the way down. You heard the person talking about going down to Greenwich.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as you cross the state line, there's an additional lane. But, you know, every time you talk about additional lane, you get, you know, the bike and pedestrian people feel that if you build a lane, they come and we're not doing anything to get people out of their cars. But there also, we have to do something to stop all the congestion that's causing us to have all the, you know, issues we have with asthma.
We have a highway that goes into the most crowded metropolitan area on the planet.
Yep.
Yes.
What are we going to do?
Yeah, 95. And take a look at the rail system. The rail system is the busiest in the country as well. And, you know, I was a superintendent in Stamford when the Mayanus River Bridge fell. And we're trying to run every train we can down to New York to deal with the crowds that were coming through. So, you know, you've got the densest rail system. You've got the densest highway system. And we have an infrastructure, you know, like Walk Bridge was put in the McKinley administration. So it gives you an idea how long we've been trying to keep these bridges open.
Wow.
So, yeah.
McKinley.
As far as wrong way driver rates, it's 2022, and life nowadays requires people to remember more stuff than back in 1972. So I think it's just people are so preoccupied, and that's why you get so many wrong ways.
You know, I think
85% of the people have a toxicology problem. there's a good start.
There's a good start. And the other end is what's going on with our cell phones, okay? And I think eventually technology is going to turn around and also find a way to keep people from using cell phones while they're driving.
Yeah, that'd be great. Mike in New Haven, what's your question?
I noticed probably like in the last 6 months, this must have happened about at least 4 or 5 times, commercial vehicles getting on the Merritt Parkway and you're getting stuck by the bridges or, you know, running up, you know, and then realizing, uh-oh.
Boo-boo.
Yep. First off, you are right, Mike. And, you know, no matter how many signs we put up, The only time we've allowed commercial vehicles is like after a major storm, the power companies and everything else, we allow them to get on there because they've got to go and restore power.
Yeah.
So, you know, we do call in all the time to the state police. And what you should know is that we now have over 300 cameras out on our highways, and we've got a system right in our DOT that we're trying to spot them as they're getting on so we can alert the state police to go after it. Eventually, if we're successful with this wrong-way driving thing, we may be able to come up with something that if a vehicle is over a certain height, we can start throwing lights at it as well to turn around and get them from doing that. But it is a problem that we're trying to work on. You're not wrong in pointing it out, and I appreciate you bringing it up right now.
Thank you, Mike. All right, we got two calls about 691.
Uh-oh.
Trapper Don, what's your question?
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Hello.
691, I'm sure you've heard about it. What is the reason they did it, and what are they going to do about it? I don't know if you've seen it from Southington.
Act like we don't know what we're talking about. What are you talking about?
Right, what are you seeing?
It's crazy. It's dangerous. What's up with it?
All right, so you're right. Okay, good.
So just in general.
And I just want to take this other 691 call and see if it's the same, and then we'll address 691.
Sure. Okay.
Frank in Wallingford.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi.
Yeah, my 691 question, east or west, what are those annoying things they caught in the road? Like you're going over a roller coaster either way.
Oh, yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
With the noise strips?
No, they're almost like they're cement, lines of cement.
Yeah, by the expansion joints you're talking about that are on there. But anyways,
is that what they are?
I'm not 100% sure when you say it, because I drive 691 all the time, and you know,
when you're heading towards Southington,
yes,
right towards the end,
right at the
it
end,
it almost feels
yes.
like they're to wake you up, like start paying attention.
Oh,
but they're strips of cement going across the pavement.
It worked.
You know, I've got to turn around and say to you, this is not the first time that I've heard this, and I don't have a good answer for you right now. I do know that one of the major projects that we've just got the funding for is 691. So you know, you said you want to ask me back. Okay, hit me with that one when we come back, because
okay.
we do have a major project going on there. I wasn't quite as conversant on which way to go and express it, other than to say that we're looking at the entire highway, both how it connects to 84, and then on the other end, you know, that's a major backup for us on 91, because everybody's trying to get off on either 691 or 15. Any day of the week, and particularly Sunday nights, the backup is miles.
Really?
Sunday night? Because everybody's trying to get off of 91, particularly the people that are coming up from New York and places south. They all are headed back down. That's a double lane exit going on to two highways, 15 and 691.
Right.
Backs up every day, and we need to straighten it out.
Huh. Yeah, that's like the Bermuda Triangle, too. Like, there's a lot of fatals on that highway.
Yeah,
people just feel like it's a raceway.
Yeah.
Well, the other problem, it's the same thing that used to go on in 84. Everybody's stuck in that lane trying to get off, so everybody else is running down the next two lanes to cut people off. And as cut people off, that's where the preponderance of accidents are taking
place.
Don, or Ron in Stratford, you have a question about
good
CDL?
Morning, guys.
What is it?
Yes, good morning, guys. Commissioner, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I have a CDL license, Class B, with air brakes, passengers, yep. and tankers, and I've been applying for a job there forever. As a matter of fact, I applied back when Governor Rowe was governor, and I got called in for an interview, and then after I got called in for an interview, they put a freeze on the hiring.
Oh, there's no freeze right now. Please get back on the website, okay? And on top of that, we'll make it a point. Leave your name with this.
I'll put you on hold. Ron, is there anything in your past that would prevent the state from calling me?
What did you say?
You can't. Don't ask that with me.
Okay, all right.
What did you say later?
No. What the thing is, you know, I keep getting text messages and email alerts about job openings, and I keep applying for them, and I'm hearing nothing back, and I'm like, what's going on?
All right, hold on. We're going to get your number.
Yeah, get his number.
They're going to walk out with your phone number.
Yeah, right. Because the truth of the matter is, okay, there was a problem. And I'll admit to this, that people were going on, and then they would turn around and send out questions. And if they didn't respond to the email, not everybody knew that there were emails coming out with the questions. And if you don't respond, you get dropped out of the pool. So we're trying to straighten all that out.
Aha! Okay.
It's a lot.
It is.
It's a lot to do, as commissioner. You seem pretty mellow for someone who has so much to do.
Seriously.
It's like stuff you don't even think about.
Right.
Hey, you know, would you allow me for a second? You know, you guys hit me on the Waterbury line. We didn't get
we
to
hit
talk.
You on nothing.
You know, and you talk about the truck that's on there that, you know, I do have. It aggravates me that
Did
we haven't done that.
Did it happen 2 days in a row? Or yesterday's accidents still
carried over to today because we have to, even though the system all checked out right, you still have to go through a whole federal testing. So we have to do a stop at that location until everything's certified again.
Uh-huh.
But what I wanted to say is we increased the number of trains on that Waterbury line by 50% this year. Okay.
Wow.
Because all the way through the pandemic, that was the one area we had to add more buses to. We did take the time while the line was shut down or while we were in the pandemic to do all of the track work and everything else and add stations and got additional money for putting stations in there. So it's a line we're looking to go and see improve as we go along. And we're improving in other stations as well. So I want to just put a shout out to Governor Lamont for the time for Connecticut. He really has put an emphasis on trying to get people out of their cars into rail systems. The fact that we're running the M8s that run out down to New York, the electric trains, are now running on Shoreline East. And we're eventually going to go all the way to Providence with them. So we're going to be carbon neutral on everything that we do.
That's cool. Well, thank you for what you do as commissioner. I want to thank all the DOT workers who see you along the highway.
You all work hard.
I want everyone to respect their safe zone.
Like, yep.
Get over.
I move
away
over.
From them.
Yep.
And congratulations on your recent service award.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, I'm surprised how that got. But anyways, again, something I did not know I was going to get, and it was something that the agency got behind and put me in for a national award, and it really meant a lot. It was very, very nice. And
cool.
I said it before, and I mean it. You know, you guys do us a public service when you turn around and mention the things that are going on and give us an opportunity to explain, because a lot of times people just come away with a perception that it's out of control. But no, we've got a lot of things that are going on that straighten it out. And when you talk about the DOT the way you do, it really, really resonates with people, and I appreciate the public service that you guys do for us, even though it may begin with a song about diarrhea, but that's another story.
Hey, we got there, didn't we?
Thank you, DOT Commissioner Joseph Gilletti.